Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Mac Show, the early edition, because my schedule got so screwed up that we ended up having to move the show. And for those of us in the United States, that means extra caffeine. It is only 7:30 in the morning for me. I don't think they've even turned the oxygen on in Colorado yet.
9:30 for Chuck.
Yeah, 9:30 for me, so I've already been at work for an hour and a half.
And it's cocktail time for Patrice.
Yes.
It totally is, yeah. Yes. It totally is if I didn't have another work meeting in an hour and a half.
I don't know. Still could be cocktail time.
I'd just drink during it.
Just saying. Anyhow, I'm Jeff Gamut. I'm your interim host. I'm sitting in for Ewan Rankin. And yeah, with this amazing group of people here and the time of day, that tells me it's Friday. And and this is the most awesome way to kick off the weekend. So I am so glad that I get to start my early morning with all of you. And thank you for being so flexible and accommodating my my word schedule today. You all rock. Yeah. So, Ben, how are you today?
I'm good, Jeff. I hear the weekend is here. Will we all be blinded by the light?
Yes, we will. Let's see, wrapped up like a deuce with Filipino kite. Look, whatever comes after blinded by the light, no one really knows. So anything you want to make it be, that's what it is. Look, okay. Chuck's processing that, and he's like, I can't argue with the logic.
I
can't. Oh, no.
I can't.
No. I blame me. This is all my fault. Chuck, how are you doing?
I'm good, Jeff, except this is the second time show I've done, and I keep getting feedback in this AirPod, and I don't know why. Only in this AirPod. So if you see me wince in pain, it's because I got one of those blasts and it hurts.
AirPods Pro?
An overly critical AirPod.
Yeah, AirPods Pro.
Yeah.
First or second gen?
First gen.
Okay, yep.
Mm-hmm. Patrice and I are on the same thought track here.
Okay, tell me, because this, I mean, literally, I have not had this issue until yesterday, and it just happened a second ago.
Set up an appointment at the Genius Bar.
And then they'll say no.
Yeah, but at least then...
Tell them there's a replacement program.
Yep, remind them that there's a replacement program, and they'll run a test on your AirPods, and one of two things will happen. Well, one of three things. So they'll say there's nothing wrong with them, in which case you say you're wrong. the other two options are they say, yes, they're defective. Here are your replacement AirPods. Or they'll say, yes, they're defective. Sucks to be you.
Okay.
But, but there is a replacement program. So,
well, I knew about the replacement. Yeah, I knew about the replacement program, but I thought it was for the buzzing, because I've had that and that got that corrected. But this is just, you know, flat out, you know, shrieking feedback, painful shrieking feedback.
That is a problem with the active noise cancellation, and that is literally one of the errors or one of the issues you have with them.
Okay. All right. Well, it's good to
either
know
the buzzing or it's the ANC somehow doesn't work properly anymore.
Okay, well, if necessary, I can change pairs because I have a set of regulars here. But if you see me, you know, again, screaming or wincing in pain, just ignore me. I'll be fine.
We usually do, yeah. We just assume it's something I've said.
Yeah, or you're a Ferengi and you're trying to activate your universal translator.
Right. that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dave, how are you doing?
I am doing great. It's Friday, or like you said, a little early than normal, but I'm here and looking forward to some fun discussion here. And the weather's been warm. Nothing other than that, nothing exciting. Work.
Well, then I'm so glad it's Friday so that soon you can say not work.
Yes.
Soon, trademark.
Soon, yes. Yes. Patrice, how are you doing?
I'm doing okay. The weather is really nice. Dave is right. I mean, I'm on the other, almost the other side of the world, but the weather is nice here too. spring seems to be back. It was really nasty and cold the last couple of weeks, even with snow in the mountains and stuff. And today it's like probably 62, 63 degrees, like almost 20 degrees Celsius. And sunny and everything. So it's nice. Yeah, tomorrow it's gonna be really nice. I have a really fun meetup in Vienna planned with like a nice city walk and a robo restaurant and stuff that I found. So, and the weather is gonna be perfect. So that's how it should be.
In contrast, here it's currently 2, with if we're lucky. A high of 8. I'm using real temperatures.
Fahrenheit or Celsius?
Celsius.
Okay, because Fahrenheit, that would be really cold.
Yeah. Yeah. And if we're lucky, we'll get up to 8 today. And yes, and the snow's moving back in.
Mm. Not good.
Springtime in Colorado.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, other than that, we have a big trade fair next week, so my days are kind of crazy. It's kind of what it is.
Yeah, that's kind of what it is.
Yeah, but I put in the note, I got final confirmation that my apartment will be ready July 1st, actually a little bit before. And I put in the notice for this one, so I'm moving out.
Congratulations.
Jeff, if you want to move here, there's a really nice apartment in Linz.
Well, funny you should say that because last night I got the confirmation on the apartment that I've been looking at. Mm-hmm. And so my move-in date is June 12th.
Nice.
Yes.
So it's going to be a nice summer.
Yeah.
Both of us moving.
It'll be, for me, leaving here will be sad because this is my home. I love this place. And I'm not leaving by choice. They're... Mm.
Raising the rent.
Kicking you out.
They're kicking all of us out. And they're going to gut these places and renovate them, which means all of this amazing 1903 architecture that's in here, it just goes away into the dumpster.
Or the other option is they just put like a fresh coat of paint on it and then like raise the rent by 500% and rent it out again.
That's kind of what's happening, except that they're planning on taking out at least one wall in here.
Oh, okay.
Because the kitchen right now is your bathroom is bigger than my kitchen. I don't care what size your bathroom is. I know it's bigger than my kitchen.
My bathroom is pretty big, so yeah.
Yeah, and so they want to put a bigger kitchen in. Mm. They want to make a place for a stackable washer and dryer, and they're replacing all the cabinetry with crappy like for those of you in the UK, DIY store cabinetry, just, you know, the cheap crapo stuff.
Mm.
And then like you said, rent's going way up.
Yeah, you should ask whether you can keep some of the doors or something. Like, they throw them away anyway.
Yeah, well,
you can always do something with that.
You know, that's a great idea.
You can make a great desk out of doors.
Oh, yeah.
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 Like those old wooden doors.
Well, I mean, here's this door right here. It's that's one of the original doors with the doorknob from 1903 still on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can do something.
But Jeff,
if
it makes you feel any better, I will bet you $100 that whatever time they've allotted to do the construction, it will increase substantially.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, because it definitely will. Yeah,
because of supply chain issues, and in anything built in 1903, they're going to open up the walls and they're going to find all kinds of surprises, and they're not going to be good ones.
Yep, that's exactly what's happened in the other two buildings that they've already done. Is what they've done is one building each year, and each of them they look like a big house. There's four units in each one, and so they do an entire building at once, and each one it's taken substantially longer and has been a problem for them and for the tenants that are moving in, because they give them a move-in date and and there's just simply no way that they can hit the move-in date. They want to do the whole thing, all four units finished, people moved in like 6 weeks.
Yeah, not a chance.
Right.
So PSA for anybody, if you're moving into a building that is just being either built or redone, add another 2 to 3 months at least to whatever the estimate is. Like,
yeah.
It's just good sense. Like happened for me. Like they said 1st of May and it was like, yeah, no way. And I was right.
Yep. Yeah. Also, I would like to win the lottery.
Oh,
right.
That's a good one.
I think we all would.
By the way, you said a good house, not the good house. Or a big house, not the big house. This way.
Right. Yes. That's a very, very important distinction.
Yep.
Yeah. Hey, we might as well do some Apple news while we're here, since it's the Mac show. And since it's the Mac show, let's start with the Apple Watch.
Okay.
As I lead into this story, I just need to start off with Dave. Thank you for doing the hard work and finding stories and letting us use your notes from In Touch with iOS.
I didn't feel like you were going to use the story.
Yeah. Well, it's like, you know me, Dave.
Yes, I do.
Yeah. And I have to say, this is because you know me so well. Well, you and Chuck both know me so well. That's one of the reasons why I'm so looking forward to hanging out with both of you in July at Mac Stock. It's going to be so much fun. Yeah. So here's the deal. Wall Street Journal, not Wall Street Journal, Bloomberg, all of the big name media places, they're basically German. The same for me now. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's anyway one story and then regurgitate it five times. So.
Yes. So saying Wall Street Journal might as well be right, because here's how I fix that. Working with the Mac Rumors story that was also covered in Wall Street Journal, talking about Mark Gurman from Bloomberg and an Apple rumor. There we go. Got it.
Yeah.
Anyhow.
So, yeah. And the way you didn't know it was Forbes. It's actually somewhat credible instead of some Apple hate that somebody just made up.
Right. Okay, I'm going to derail us with a Forbes story. So back when I worked at Mac Observer, there was some discussion at one point about something with Forbes. And everyone just kind of started laughing because, like, shortly before I had started working for the company, there had been this incident where probably Brian, because it's the kind of brilliant writing that he would have done, wrote an April Fool's story about something Apple was doing, and I don't even remember what it was, but it was written really well, sounded completely credible. But the premise was completely ridiculous, and it was obvious that it was something that was ridiculous, because it was, as I recall, totally lampooning something that was current, and Forbes picked it up and ran it as if it was legit. They totally fell for the April Fool's joke and ran it as legit news. And when they realized what they had done, they were furious and made sure that Dave and Brian knew that the Mac Observer was blocked from Forbes forever.
Because right. They were dumb.
And I don't think they lost any sleep over that either.
No.
No, it was worn as a badge of honor.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a shame. It's a shame what happened to Forbes. Forbes, before the internet, Forbes was a really legitimate, important news, business news source when they had the magazine. And they just, when the transition happened and then Malcolm Forbes stepped down, it just went sideways. And it's just it's a real shame because that used to be like required reading. And now it's almost required skipping.
They went to independent contributors that they have no oversight of.
Clickbait.
One of which apparently was Brian. So
didn't even know it, but he was that was him.
Yeah. So anyhow, I completely forgot the Right. Apple Watch. So here's the deal. Mark Gurman is saying watchOS 10 is going to be announced, and that part is no surprise because we just know that's coming anyhow. What Gurman is saying is that it's going to have significant changes to it, and
what does that mean?
Major update with bigger enhancements, including an updated interface. Now, that is so wonderfully vague.
It is.
And I mean, any minor change that you would make to the interface, would be an updated interface. All right, here's my take. None of what Gurman is saying is surprising at all. And whatever Apple changes, especially considering how vague his commentary is, would prove to be accurate.
I'm not sure it's obvious, because look at what changed last year. Can you remember what changed in WatchOS 9?
No.
Said. See,
I was about to say yes, and now that I'm thinking about it,
I mean, there were some changes, but they were at best minor, like add-ons to iOS, basically.
Yeah, I can barely tell the difference in the Apple Watches the last couple generations, let alone the OS
between 7 and 8.
Yeah, to be fair, I have a friend who's still rocking an Apple Watch 2, and I didn't know it. I had no idea. Because, I mean, looking at it side by side with my Apple Watch 8, unless you're indoors where you can like really look at the screens, they look the same.
Yeah.
You know, this is a problem, I think, for Apple and for a lot of companies. We've heard this about the MacBooks and MacBook Pros. You know, we want to see a redesign. And I keep asking, whenever I hear that, I say, what is it that you want? And I never can get an answer. Okay, because most of the answers have to do either with ports or battery life. And now with the M series chips.
And you can barely see that.
Yeah. At some point it's like, okay, have we reached an optimal point in the design for these devices, which is not necessarily a bad thing, I don't think. My Apple Watch is great. I'm willing to learn and find out why the next big thing. Now, the other thing that's been talked about in the media so much is the action button on the Apple Watch Ultra.
Yeah, and that, by the way, is a major redesign. Like,
right.
The 8 didn't get it, but the Ultra is the new redesign of the Apple Watch.
Right, and so that may make perfect sense. I'm willing to be educated, but I just get really frustrated when I hear all these new design things. Mm. You know, I mean, it's like cars. You know, okay, let's put fins on cars. Great, but does it make any difference?
Yeah, I mean, what people are asking for is not really a redesign. They're asking for significant new features.
Yeah.
The design, it might be cool if the design changed, but I mean, if it's just the design change and nothing else changed, that's not what people really want.
Yeah. But I can't get anybody to answer the question about features. Tell me what features that you want to see built in. And that's the question that nobody, well, I just want to see a new design. Well, no, you know.
I mean, there is definitely on a lot of devices a point. I mean, the MacBook reached that honestly years ago. Where, mm-hmm. I mean, as you said, you have reached a mature product. It does the job. It is well designed. Sure, you can switch up the port and you can maybe tinker with like a thing here or there. But overall, it's like, okay, this is the best thing we can do. And unless something significantly changes, like some technology changes or something where we can do something we couldn't do before, or we have mm-hmm. to do something we couldn't do before, like there is no reason to change. I mean, as you said, I mean, we could put fins on a MacBook. It doesn't change what it does.
And getting back to the software, I think that we're at a point where we have to ask, on the Apple Watch, is it just a very nice fitness tracker, or can it be more? Does it need a bigger screen, or is it what it is? And I think that's kind of where we're at getting into watchOS 10. I mean, can a redesign of the OS a la iOS, I was about to show my age and say System 7. But is a redesign a la iOS 7 in the cards for it, or can it make it more functional, or is it just basically a fitness and notifications platform?
That's a good question, and I will add to that question without offering an answer, because would I do that? What could Apple do to the interface to improve it?
I mean, I would say one thing. The whole app thing on watchOS is honestly incredibly useless. Like, the list is really hard to navigate. The honeycomb thing is really hard to find anything. Yeah, it's like... that's probably something they could improve.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, the digital crown is in most apps pretty useless, other than to click the button to get back. That could be something that they could do something with and try something new with that they haven't tried before.
Didn't I see somewhere that they were talking about the new version having folders?
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember that, but it's entirely possible. It would make sense.
You know,
it would honestly make navigation easier, I think, because you could have whatever, 6, 7 folders for your category. I mean, kind of like the app library. Mm-hmm. Similar, at least.
Okay, now I'm on board.
Yeah,
you up could until do you that. Said app library, I was thinking, why would I want to add more taps into getting at stuff where I already have a crap load of taps to get at it on the watch?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But organizing apps like that, where I have control over how they're organized,
mm-hmm.
okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, you had control over the honeycomb as well, but it was just still very hard to navigate.
Yeah. Yes. And I did try and organize the honeycomb.
Me too.
And eventually I was like, you know what? I can't deal with this brain damage. I'm just going to do the list view instead.
Yep. And actually, I do have a slight theory on this. Mm-hmm. Do you know how Apple Watch complications basically became the lock screen widgets on the iPhone? Mm-hmm. What about Apple Watch applications becoming the new actionable widgets for the other platforms?
That's an interesting idea.
Yeah. I like that. Is.
Yeah, because right now, development on the Apple Watch has basically stopped.
Mm-hmm. Or moved backwards, even in some cases, Microsoft did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it worked. I mean, it worked well when they did it with the lock screen. And I think an Apple Watch app is about the right size and functionality for a widget.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm liking this idea. And part of what makes me like it a lot is that if you take the Apple Watch apps and turn them into the widgets that are being used on other devices, developers now have a new incentive to add new functionality to their Apple Watch apps.
And the single and to singular the code based.
Yes. Yes.
Isn't like some that. Of this a sort of what we could see as a natural evolution that Apple, that the watch came with, you know, Apple apps, and then we started to get more apps. Then we started to get more apps, sort of like the iPhone with the home screen. And then, you know, we have the app library, you know, then, I mean, we had folders, then we had the app library. Mm-hmm. Isn't this just a natural progression of how mm-hmm. useful these things are and how many uses they are being put to?
Yes.
Yes.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And that's a good thing. And that's yeah. a good thing. It's a nice problem to have all these super useful apps on your phone and now your watch that you can't find enough room or are having trouble finding an easy way to access them. Yeah. So it's sort of a mixed blessing or curse.
I mean, and it's kind of because the watch is smaller, you get to that point earlier because on the phone we had bigger screens and the phones even got bigger. So you yeah. had more leeway until you needed that, really. Eventually we got there, that we needed folders and then app library. But on the watch, I think, I mean, honestly, I reached that point 3-4 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It. All right. So what we really know is that something will be changed in watchOS 10 because, of course... Mm-hmm. And we've hit a point where we feel like the platform has kind of stagnated,
mm-hmm.
and it's time for something to happen that that breathes new life into the Apple Watch platform.
Honestly, I think the reason why we didn't get much the last year and maybe even the year before, because I don't remember a big change the year before, is probably that. That they were working on a bigger rethink, and that takes sometimes a couple of years.
Yeah. Yep. Hey, as long as we're talking about stuff where it's speculation, here's another speculation story. So apparently, Apple is going to build a journaling platform like Day One into iOS 17. So you'll have a built-in journaling app just right there as part of the operating system. And so the story that I have, and Dave, was this actually in your list?
No.
I know why. Because I just looked at the date. It's from early this morning, so it would have been after recording.
Oh no, Day One's being Sherlocked.
Yeah, day one is being Sherlocked. So Wall Street Journal, and our story or our link is from 9to5 Mac, but because no paywall. Wall Street Journal, their sources are telling them that that there's a project called Jurassic that's basically Day One. And so you'll be able to do all of your journaling like you do in Day One, just with the apps that are included with the operating system. And the developers of Day One, the first time they heard anything about this is when the Wall Street Journal contacted them and said, "Hey, what do you think?" Which is a great way to get someone to say, "WTF, people."
Mm.
Yeah.
I don't see it that way. I mean, honestly, it's the Notes app. The Notes app has everything you need for journaling. It has folders. It has like Markdown. You can draw things. You can like put in images. Everything you would need for journal. Like repackaging that into a separate app doesn't change a thing.
So
and okay, Day One does more than that, to be honest.
All right. So I like where you're going with this. So maybe Apple has new enhancements for the Notes app. And and then this would fall into the same category as so many other things Apple has made, where people say, this thing's being Sherlocked, but it's actually not. Keychain did not Sherlock 1Password. The keyboard shortcuts thing did not Sherlock Text Expander and all of the other text expansion tools. Mm-hmm. And and we've seen
freehand, the drawing app mm-hmm. that they just introduced recently. What are they called? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Didn't Sherlock drawing apps.
Right. Like, yes. So what Apple is really good at doing is creating a tool or a feature that gives us functionality for something that that may be useful. Yeah. And if you need to have something that does more than what the built-in app offers, there are third-party products that give you more features, like going from Keychain to 1Password.
Mm-hmm. You know, I want to put another spin, though, on what Patrice said, because this bugs me a little bit that Apple's, and yes, I'm being an Apple apologist, okay, but maybe not, because if somebody develops a competing app, an independent developer develops a competing app to day one, then it's a competing app. Mm-hmm. But if Apple does it, it's Sherlocking. And it's like, okay, I have a real problem with this. One minute everybody wants access to the App Store and, you know, we have to level the playing field. But if Apple then steps out and steps on somebody else's field, you know, then mm-hmm. they get trashed. And you can't have it both ways. I'm sorry. You just, if you want to talk fairness, you can't have it both ways.
Well, there's a difference. Go ahead, Patrice, going to say what I'm going to say, but there's better.
There's a difference here. And the difference is that Apple has the power to do things that normal apps can't do because they don't have to go through app review. And they have the power to put it on every device by default, which no other app can do. That puts them, like, that gives them a leg up. And while that might not be a problem for apps like Day One, it might be a problem for, let's say, simpler apps or smaller developers. Mm-hmm. So, like, there is an advantage. And I mean, there is definitely a question that we have to ask, like, does Apple really need to provide this?
Chris, I'll give you the first part. I will challenge you on the second part, because yes, you are right. They do have the ability to place it on every machine, mm-hmm. except that they can't really charge for it on every machine. So, yeah, sure. they put it on, but they're not getting any revenue necessarily from specifically that app. So
that's true.
You know, but your point about, you know, they don't have to go through the app review process and all is an absolutely fair one.
I'll add something to that. How many people outside of people like us that really get into all of our gear and our software, how many people use a web browser on their iPhone or their Mac other than Safari?
I currently don't.
Yeah, the people use Safari because it's what's on their computer.
The default.
And even if it doesn't give them all the functionality they need, the fact that it's there makes it the default application for someone.
Yeah, I would probably disagree with that, because I don't use Safari that much at all on my Mac. I use Firefox, and there's probably a lot of others out there with the same thing. I mean, I do use the Safari app on the iPhone and the iPad by default, but not on my Mac.
I agree with you, and at the same time, don't, because I'm good like that. Sure. Yes, people like us, absolutely. We're the people that, like, on our Macs, we're not using Safari unless we have a specific reason why that's the browser for us. Otherwise, we go and find something else. Yep. But I think the average user, the person that they don't even know what version of Mac OS they're running, they're going to use Safari because it's on their computer. And I think that's how they approach all the apps that are on their computer. If it's the one that's already there, it's the one they will use.
They will not even ask people like us for an app because there's already one. Like, why wouldn't I use it?
And that's a fair point. I guess I might fight back and just say, they were probably never candidates for day one in the first place. If the journaling app is there, it's there and I use it. But did I really think about, do I need a journaling app? Maybe some, but not a lot.
I mean, yeah, I'll give you that. Like, there's probably like the number of people out of that group that just would use the default is probably not 100% that would then just use day one. But some people will. They will be like, okay, I want to do this, and there is nothing I have here that I can use for it. And then they will either Google it or ask someone they know or something, and there will be a recommendation. Might be day one, might be something else, but there will be a recommendation, and those people you lose.
Or
how many that is?
Does an Apple journaling app become a gateway drug to day one? Where they find out that the Apple app doesn't do everything they want, so they go looking and they find day one.
I think you're both correct in this case.
Yeah, good point.
Of course we are.
It's never just one site.
Yeah. All right. I want to throw another story in real quick, just so so we have three things we've talked about today. This one comes from 9 to 5 as well. And Dave, I'm sorry, I can't remember if this one is from your show notes or not. Anyhow, apparently people that have been testing the Apple Reality Pro headset stuff are being blown away by what Apple is doing. And
do you think this was something Apple leaked to build up like excitement?
Oh my god! Okay,
we're reaching that time frame where that is possible.
What I love is that I can bring a story in that I'm not sure where we're going to go with it, but I just feel like someone's going to have something good to say, and then you drop an awesome bombshell like that, and I hadn't even thought about it potentially being an orchestrated leak, but as soon as you said it, I'm like, how can this be anything other than that?
I mean,
yeah. Okay. I mean, didn't they say like a couple of weeks ago that everybody at Apple thought it sucked?
Yes.
No, that's not true. No, they didn't say everybody sucked. I think it was the design department thought it wasn't the perfect thing and they should wait and do the version 2 or something. That was it. From when they showed it to like the top executives, all of them loved it. Of course they did Yeah.
I'm feeling, now that you've said it, Patrice, I'm really feeling like this is Apple trying to do what they love to do, which is control the narrative.
Yeah, without leaking anything, confirming anything, making anything concrete whatsoever. Like, no, nothing where you can point to and say, okay, this is coming exactly 100%, I know it. But getting people excited about it, getting people to talk about it, and like hyping people up for the announcement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, well, and the timing is really nice if you're into the whole conspiracy theory thing, because WWDC is coming up in a few weeks.
5 or 6 weeks?
Yeah, something like that.
Might be almost exactly 6 weeks.
And if Apple is going to make a headset or a more robust VR platform announcement, that would be a reasonable time for it to happen.
Yeah, and the reason why I mentioned that is simply because I've been thinking about that. Within the next, I would say, 2 to 3 weeks, we will get the typical Apple is clearing the board and announcing things that they're not going to announce at WWDC. It happens every year.
That's true. Yep, we're coming up into that window too. Yep. All right. I feel I have accomplished my personal obligation of getting through at least three stories today. And I'm okay waiting to see what else leaks about an Apple headset. And just
6 weeks and 3 days, by the way. I checked.
all right. So we'll just wait and see what happens. And maybe we'll get something interesting. Maybe we won't. Maybe it'll be exciting. Maybe it won't. Who knows? What I do know is that Tioso Host is very exciting. And what makes them
Yes.
so exciting is the fact that they're being incredibly generous and sitting and helping us out by giving us the bandwidth we need so we can live stream shows to you every single week. And they're giving us the hosting space we need. So there's a place for the website to live, and there's a place for all of the show recordings to live. So you can watch or listen to episodes at your leisure over and over if you want. And the resources it takes to do all of this is beyond our ability to make happen on our own. So the fact that TSO Host is being so generous and giving us those resources is absolutely awesome. Without their support, we just couldn't be here. And that's not hyperbole. It's just the way it is. So we really, really appreciate what they're doing. Now, what we can do to show our appreciation is just go online to our favorite social media and then let TSO Host know that we appreciate that they're here supporting BTN. That's all you need to do. Since what they do is provide web hosting and help people buy domain names, if you need to take advantage of those services, well, please do. Go find that perfect domain name and add that to your cart and add web hosting to your cart, and then add the discount code BTN20, and you're going to get 20% off that order. So not only are they being incredibly generous by supporting the British Tech Network, they're being generous by offering a deal to BTN fans. So thank you, Tioso Host, for being here and supporting us. And speaking of support, Patrice, I need your support every single week because you're so good at telling people about the chat, and I just bumble my way through it. So would you please do that?
Well, if you want to join our chat, not Bumble, join our live chat, you can do that. Well, you can join Bumble too, but that's not our live chat. I'm sorry. You can head over to chat.britishtechnetwork.com and talk to us live. And you can do that while we're recording live, of course, which is every Friday, 4 p.m. UK time for the Mac show. And every Thursday, 7 p.m. UK time for the big show. The show times do change sometimes, like both shows this week. So keep an eye on our social media. We always post it before, so that you know you can join us at the right time. And then, join our live chat. But let's say you are listening to this in the recorded form in your favorite podcast player of choice, because that's what podcasts are for. That's totally okay. You cannot join the live chat. That's not how it works unless you have, I don't know, some interstellar, intergalactic wormhole that travels through time. I don't know how that works. Sorry. But you can still at least get to what we've, like, you can see what we've talked about. You can get to the links still. You can get to the links to the cool things that we're posting in a minute or two. Like all of that. And all you have to do for that is you head over to britishtechnetwork.com/chat. And then there is a little calendar that pops up on the page, and you select today's date. today as we're recording this, not when you're listening to that. Might be in 50 years. Who knows? Yeah. Or 50 years in the past. I don't know how that would work, but who knows? So, yeah, put in today's recording date, which is the 21st of April, 2023. April 21st, 2023. And then you will see everything that was talked about.
Awesome. Thank you for doing that, Patrice. Not only did that lower my stress level, because like I said, I bumble my way through that. It also gave me the time to find the link for my cool thing, since the email I sent myself apparently never showed up. I bet I go into my own spam. thanks for that. And so speaking of cool things, it's time. And Dave, you have the first one in here. So tell us about your cool thing.
Well, it's a combo. The first one is this Western Digital. It's a black two terabyte NVMe solid state drive. It's a Gen 4, so it's a really fast 5150 megabytes per second speeds on it, which is absolute insanity. It's 2 terabytes. In the US, it's $119.99. I can't believe how cheap these drives have become. So very, very great quality. And then I added, and I've talked about this one before, from OWC, the Envoy Express enclosure, absolutely worth every penny. They've dropped the price to that one down to $89, $89.99 without a drive. So you add this drive, get a nice, fast drive. I copied 104 gigabyte of photos file onto this drive, and it took 2.5 minutes to copy it.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's this drive is insanely fast, and that the Envoy Express just adds to that speed. So it just well worth it. And having these drives, I mean, I'm a crazy person. I have all kinds of drives, I'm sure we all do. And I've used them all, and then there's Ben's credit card. I think it's well worth the investment, and check it out. And you can use any other enclosure. I bought an additional cheaper enclosure because I wanted to take the drive that was in my Envoy Express and put that into another one. So now my drives keep multiplying. So, but this drive is well worth it. I would definitely recommend it.
Awesome. And looking at the prices, like the 1 terabyte version, $59.99.
$50.
Holy crap. I mean, it's insane. You can get high quality Thunderbolt enclosures for $90 and a 2 terabyte drive for $120.
Yeah, that's in this case. Yeah.
It's not that long ago that would have been a $500 drive.
Easy. But now people are buying 4 and 8 terabytes, which are that's where the pricing is way up there. But yeah, drives are just dropped dramatically in price, and SSDs especially.
It's very nice. All right. I am doing my best to not click buy now.
there's only two left, so.
There's only
Let
one
me
left.
Help oh, no. Jeff.
Oh, Jeff, that one is yours.
Yeah, the one that's left, that one's mine.
Oh, someone must have grabbed the other one.
Yeah. All right, Patrice, distract me from this drive.
Okay,
tell us about your cool thing, which is actually an awesome cool thing.
Yeah, I will distract you with something that you already own, because I know that you have an Apple TV Plus subscription. And that you, I bet, will enjoy. It is the new Tetris movie with Taron Egerton. It's like a how to describe it? It's kind of like a political thriller kind of thing with a little bit of a video game aspect about Nintendo and Tetris and a couple other companies and some greed, corporate greed and like Cold War and Russia and all of that. Like it has a lot of really cool things. It is a really well-made movie. It's like one of my favorites almost instantly. I watched it. I wasn't sure because I'm not into gaming that much. I mean, I remember Tetris and I know how big it was and it still is, to be honest. And I was like, I'll give it a try. And I really enjoyed it. It was brilliantly made. It was really interesting. It had a really nice ending. It has like laughter, you cry a little bit, like it just has everything. So highly recommend it. Yeah, and a really good cast, by the way, as well. Like, as I said, Taron Egerton as the main character. But there's also Toby Jones, if you know him, like playing a really interesting, I think, German, if I remember correctly, character.
Hydra's there?
Yeah, Hydra's there, exactly. Yeah. Well, I mean,
is
you never
German
know. It might
or
be.
British?
No, the character, oh, that's a good question.
I mean, the character.
The character could also have been Scottish or something. Maybe I just mistook that. Yeah, as I said, really, really good cast. Really interesting plot. It's a movie. It's not super long. It's like an hour and a half, I think. Yeah, no, hour 57. So, okay, a little bit longer. But it's not like a four-hour movie or something. And if you liked Tetris at all, or if you like still remember the game, there's a little bit like inside stories as well, like how it all came to be. It is not a documentary, so do not expect 100% historical accurate story. Like, that's not what this is. Entertainment. Bro. And some people have said, well, yeah, like it didn't exactly go that way. Like, yeah, who cares? It's a good story.
Yeah, I'm so with you. I loved the movie. I was hooked from the beginning. And yes, it's not a documentary,
mm-hmm.
but it does what it needs to do really well, which is convey what everyone went through mm-hmm. to bring all of this stuff together, and it gives you the emotions that went along with what was happening.
Exactly.
It's
and they do have. And they did cast everything really well, and they do have some actual real footage all the way at the end in the credits. You see like a little bit here and there.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really well made.
Yeah, I've been meaning to watch it. I got to watch that now.
You and definitely need to watch it.
Yeah, I will pile onto this too. I'm not a gamer. I didn't care a lick about Tetris. I've probably played it once in my life. But this was a really great story. I felt like, yeah, I was obligated to watch it because, you know, it's computer oriented. So I know people are going to be talking about it. And I got completely sucked in. It was, you know, even if it's partially a documentary or most of the facts are true, it's a great story. And I would tell anybody that you're going to enjoy it, even if you're not a Tetris fan or don't care about it.
Yeah, I think like some of the original like people from back in the day actually worked on this, but they were also very clear that okay, there were some parts where like whatever, we need a car chase, and that was it. Like, we just need to get from A to B and make it as interesting as possible. And yeah, that didn't happen in real life, but they were like, okay, it's a TV show or it's a movie, like it's fine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They also knew that like, there are some limitations. They can't make it too accurate because then it's boring.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah. But you have to watch it. It's really good.
And now I have little blocks floating in my head.
Yes.
You're dreaming of that.
They were there before, Ben.
And Chuck,
they've been there since the 80s.
Right.
Exactly. I'm just following all the blocks up and down, left and right.
Yep. Well, while you weren't into Tetris, Chuck, I really was. The only reason I don't have Tetris on my iPhone or my Switch is because you can't get just plain Tetris.
Mm-hmm.
It's it's all of this other weird stuff. Tetris with
spin-offs.
With all this other weird crap in it. And
What I didn't know is that the company actually exists still to this day, in some shape or form. I didn't know that there was actually a Tetris company. I never knew.
I didn't realize there was a Tetris company either. But it makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the music. I mean, like, if you've ever played it for more than a couple of minutes, you will remember that music. And mm-hmm. they did a really good job playing with that. Like, they have the original music, I think, some point somewhere, but everything else is kind of morphed off of that. You can still recognize it here and there, and they have like a really good soundtrack. I actually subscribe, like Apple, of course, put out a playlist on Apple Music with all the music from the movie, and I added to my list because I love that.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, I'm looking at the official App Store listing for Tetris right now.
Mm-hmm.
At the bottom of it, the you might also like it's all the unauthorized Tetris clones.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, okay, that sounds very Apple.
Yeah. Which sucks. But at the same time, the Tetris that's there, it's not regular Tetris. So frustrating. So,
are you saying Tetris was Sherlocked?
Yeah. yes. Right. Tetris Sherlocked itself. Yeah. Okay. So far, awesome picks. Who has the next cool thing?
I'll take it. This is one. I did a Mac Voices briefing about this. I received a review copy of this, or a review device. This is an STM ChargeTree Go. It's a portable wireless charger that I just have kind of loved. I took this, I've been using this on and off, but I took it to Vegas last week with me at NAB, and it just simplified my charging life so much. Because it has a place for your phone, it has a place for your watch, and it has a place for your AirPods in a charging case to all charge on this same device. The cool thing about this, number one, it will fold down flat, so you don't have to have it propped up to use the phone part. Nice. But once you pop it up, then it puts the phone at a very nice angle for the bedside or even your desktop. Then there's a little spring-loaded arm that pops out that is the device that is the piece for your watch. So now you've got your phone and your watch pointing at exactly the right angle for you to, you know, to be able to see it and see how things are charging. Then the AirPods go on the little platform that is formed once you raise the piece up. And if you're looking at the picture, folks, it's a lot easier to visualize this. But it is compact. It takes care of all three devices. The only thing it doesn't come with is a charging block, but that's okay. Who doesn't have one of those laying around somewhere? It comes with a USB to USB-C cable. I think it's about a meter, so it's not not long, but doesn't need to be. What's that, Ben? Oh, charging. Ben's holding up a charging block that apparently is invisible. But this is just a terrific compact device that takes place of a whole lot of other things. Might not be necessary for an overnight, but definitely if you're going to be gone for, you know, 2, 3, 4 days, it's perfect because it puts all your devices in one place. In the case, the way I was using it, it put them right by my bedside. So, you know, they were all charging, but they were all completely accessible. It is just, I can't tell you how much I enjoy this because it took a number of things out of my bag and makes it kind of simple, neat, compact. And I know where everything is. I know everything is going to be charged. And this is from STM Brands. And I put the Amazon link in the show notes.
Nice.
Yeah, I remember seeing those guys when we were at CES.
Yeah.
Some good stuff.
Yeah,
it comes in white and black if you care.
So the white's cheaper for some reason.
Yeah, I got the black one. But
yeah, I have something similar to this. I highly recommend these types of chargers. Personally, I'm waiting for Qi2 to arrive, aka standardized MagSafe, before I upgrade.
Yeah.
Thank you, Ben, because that's a fair point.
You might have just cost me money.
Yeah, well, this is not a MagSafe charger. I want to be fair about that. This is a Qi charger. Yeah. But again, for what I'm using it for, the way I'm using it, I don't care that it doesn't charge maybe as fast as MagSafe because I'm asleep.
Yeah. So, if you're asleep or if you're working and it's just sitting on your desk, it doesn't have to be fast.
Yeah, exactly. And the fact that they spring-loaded the arm so that, you know, there are plenty of out there that have this sort of arrangement, but none that I've seen that, you know, fold in or tuck away or pop out as easily as this. So again, it it meets that compact requirement that I have for anything that's going to go in my backpack.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I have that problem when I'm traveling and I want to take like a nightstand, something with me so I can charge my things. And like, it's a fixed thing. So it takes up a lot of space in my suitcase. And I'm like, this is perfect. Folds flat.
Yeah. Folds completely flat. Comes with
unfortunately its own not available here. That's the only problem.
Oh, same.
It's available in the UK though. So.
So what you're saying is you have to come visit Patrice.
Looks like it, yeah.
Great. We're looking forward to your visit. Yeah.
Hopefully MacStock.
Yeah, yes. Come to MacStock. Yeah.
I wish.
Excuse me.
Wish I had time for that this year.
Ooh.
All right, next year.
Next year.
Awesome.
Next year I might speak at MacStock. We'll see.
That would be cool too.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, Ben, tell us about your cool thing.
Well, something happened that now happens about once a decade. Metallica has released a new album. it is called 72 Seasons, which will be about how long till we see Patrice in the United States next.
Well, if now I was about to say something political, I'm not going to. So,
it is. But I have listened to it. Actually, Metallica and LA Guns had released new albums on the same day. Well, oh, wow. I haven't listened to the LA Guns one yet because the Metallica one is so good.
Put that in my playlist.
Yeah, I mean it's just super heavy. If you're worried about them kind of going off and doing something else like Saint Anger or The Loads, well, they're not doing that. They're just going into standard bone crushing Metallica riffs.
Cool.
Ben, I heard the first time I heard any track off this album was this earlier this week in Vegas. It was absolutely intense because it's like, that sounds like Metallica. What is this? And I used Shazam to pull it up and it's like, oh, okay. That's off the new album. Yep. This is a keeper.
Yeah.
Nice.
In fact, I'd have to say this might be one of my favorite Metallica albums.
Okay. That's saying something.
Yeah. I mean, I think they only release one once a decade now is because they want to get it right.
And I haven't checked. This is on Apple Music.
Everything.
Absolutely.
Okay. Apple Music, Spotify. I linked to the official website.
Minidisc.
Yes. they own their own record plant now.
Nice.
That's not a joke. They actually own their own record plant now.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm. They could afford it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's actually kind of cool that they can manufacture their records themselves.
There's a lot of artists out there doing that now, especially I think I watched something where they are actually pressing their own vinyl.
Mm-hmm. That's really cool.
Yeah.
All right. So we all have our playlist set for the weekend.
Yep. So Jeff, tell us about the newest Legos.
okay, so the funny thing is that I very well could have talked about Lego, but I'm choosing instead to spend your money. Nice. Okay.
Oh boy.
All right. So this is an iOS app called URL Quick Keyboard, and the purpose of this keyboard is to deal with the absolute pain in the ass that working or navigating through a URL on your iPhone is.
Oh,
and
fine.
It's holy crap. So I started playing with this while it was in beta, and it is worth so much more than the 69 cents that it costs. Mm-hmm. I mean, like they could have charged $5.99 for this, mm-hmm. and I would have been, you can charge more, because it's really that useful. And watching it improve and get new features, excuse me, throughout the beta phase has been great, because initially it was just like, I'll move the cursor to specific points in URL, which in and of itself is really useful. But now you can search in a URL to find, whatever text you need. And it does several things now, beyond just moving the cursor around. And it's only 69 cents. And it is worth far more than what you're paying for it.
Added right to the keyboard.
Yep.
In fact, Apple, if you want to Sherlock something, Sherlock this.
Yeah, actually, yes.
So, Jeff, it is
not Sherlock. Buy it.
It is a separate keyboard, or it is.
Yeah. It's a separate keyboard that you install, and then you can switch to it when you're in Safari. Switch to it when you
need the app. That is. Yeah. And 69 cents makes it a no-brainer.
Yeah, right.
No, it's really good. I've used it a couple of times already, and it's like. It really, like when you have one of those really long URLs that you want to cut off half of it and or copy something or whatever, makes it just a breeze.
Yes, and it works on iPad as well.
Mm-hmm.
I've been using it a lot on my iPhone, and
yeah, on the iPad you have other options with the keyboards and so on, so it's less. I mean, it's still useful, but it's less needed. Let's put it this way.
Mm-hmm.
But on the iPhone, yeah, no brainer.
Yep. And so, Ben, now you see why I didn't bring Lego to the table today.
What's Lego? All I know about is this now.
Right. Yep. I'll see if I can come up with something next week that is just equally consuming for you. Yeah. All right. So with that, it's time to find out where people can find you. Ben, why don't you start us off? Where can people find you?
Well, Jeff, you can find me on social media at Ben Rathig on your social media of choice. My website, rathig.tech. You can find me live on video most Tuesdays on Chuck Joyner's Mac Voices. I have bribed him to let me in more and more. Every Thursday night, you can find me on David Ginsburg's In Touch with iOS. For some reason, he made me a regular contributor. I swear I don't have his family hostage.
Not his stop.
Yep. Yep. You can also find me every Friday here on the Mac Show, and every Thursday here on the Big Show.
Awesome.
Basically, Chuck, I just follow around Jeff and just do whatever he does.
And and we can see how that's working out for you.
Well, Ben, I did get an email from a podcast agent, so it's got to be working out good.
Yeah.
Go you.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah. I do want to point out that the podcast agent has not contacted me, Chuck, or Dave.
Nope.
Just Ben.
Yep.
Yeah. Chuck, where can people find you?
Well, if any podcast agent wants to contact me or anybody else, you can find me at macvoices.com. That's where we talk to all sorts of interesting people. Right now we're doing a bunch of stuff. There's the Road to Mac Stock. David will be on. Jeff has been on, and yeah, we've got just all kind of people coming up. And next week I'll be starting to release the coverage of NAB that I shot this earlier this week. So you can look forward to that. And if you want to interact with David and Ben and Jeff and occasionally Patrice on Mac Voices Live, we do that Tuesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, whatever time that is, wherever you are, at youtube.com/MacVoicesTV. And I hope to see you all there. Thank you, Jeff.
Awesome. And Chuck, I was going to comment on you color coordinating with your lights again, green shirt, green background. And then I realized later on that no, your background is just the tan wall. It's not green.
Yeah, I don't turn the lights on usually for anything except Mac Voices Live. That makes it identifiable.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just live in this room full of blue light and never get to leave.
Boom. Sounds about right.
Yep.
You left last night.
That's true. We have video proof that I actually escaped my office.
Yeah.
Wow. Cat let you out?
Yeah. Cat was not happy that I snuck out. Yes, I did in touch with iOS from an alternate location last night.
Cool.
Just mixing it up. Yep.
Party rolls.
Right. Dave, where can people find you?
Find me at In Touch with iOS, intouchwithios.com. I'm on Mac Voices Live every Tuesday night. Well, we'll be glad to get your back, Chuck. Looking forward to that. And YouTube channel, youtube.com/intouchwithios. I'm on Mastodon at DaveG65 at Mastodon.cloud, occasionally on Twitter. And then, yes, thank you, Jeff. Great job. And have a great weekend, everybody.
Yeah, well, and thanks again for letting me steal from your show notes.
Well, you're always welcome.
You rock. Patrice, where can people find you?
Well, I'm here every week on the Mac Show on Fridays, also on the Big Show on Thursdays. If you're into the non-Apple side of things, all of the space tech and games and Windows and Android and cars and yeah, everything else simply. You can find everything about me, all the social media links, the podcast, the projects, like literally everything on thepatrice.com. And if you want to listen to really cool people talking about food, food-related memories and stories and just everything that goes with that, head over to Foodie Flashback at foodieflashback.com.
Awesome. And even if you think that you wouldn't enjoy hearing people talk about food, you need to check out the show anyhow, because it is just, it's a really nice show.
It is.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Who doesn't like food?
Well, some people say they don't like food, but it's not true.
Nah.
Yeah, I agree. Everyone likes food. It's just a matter of finding the food they like. Yeah. Okay. So for me, let's see. On socials, Mastodon, Instagram, whatever else, JGamut. Then let's see. For shows, all right. On Tuesdays, Chuck's Mac Voices Live. So thanks for letting me keep coming back on. And then on Thursdays, The Big Show. And then Thursday evenings, Dave's In Touch with iOS. Dave, thanks for letting me keep coming back on. Then Friday mornings here on the Mac Show. And then at some point this afternoon, I'll be recording The Context Machine with Brian Chaffin. And I also did The Edition with Charlotte Henry this week. We talked about streaming shows that we're enjoying right now. And I'm trying to figure out, am I forgetting anything? Nope, I think that's Google me. I'm easy to find. Okay. So with that, thank you to all of you for being so awesome and putting up with me for making us record early this week. You all rock, and I'm genuinely happy that I get to spend part of my Friday with all of you. And everyone that watches or listens live, thank you for being here and being part of the show. And for everyone that participates in the chat room, thank you for doing that. And it's great to get to interact with everyone. If you watch or listen to the recordings later, thank you for being part of the BTN family as well. And Ewan, thank you just for being you. Muller, feel better soon. And thanks for making sure we have people for shows every week. And TSO host, thank you for being here and supporting us. All right. So everyone, what you need to do is remember to show up next Thursday for the Big Show. Join us again next Friday for the Mac Show. And until then, everyone have an awesome weekend.